Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
If you have a Bible, I'd love you to turn with me this morning. We're going to jump into the Old Testament. And it is actually my genuine honor and privilege to speak in to this series on faith and talk about faith. But when you come to a church that probably is one of the great faith churches of the world, I do feel a little bit like a 9-volt battery being thrown into a nuclear reactor. But I still feel like I've got something to say to the church today. In 2 Kings chapter 4, and it says, there's a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha saying, your servant, my husband is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? What have you got? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. If you've got the original King James, it'll say a flask of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour into the vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went in from him, shut the door behind her. Sorry, I'll read that again. I'm just getting excited. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. I'm going to read it a third time. I'm reading a word that isn't in there. I know there's an and that I'm saying that isn't in the text, and I'm confusing myself because I keep reading the wrong line. And I'm a good reader, but my eyes are failing me and I refuse to go beyond a 10 font because I feel like that's failure. But it is compromising my preaching gift. And it is a gift. What verse are we in? Verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. He said to her, there is not another vessel, so the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons shall live on the rest. He says, what do you have in the house? Now, I'm going to preach a message really where we talk about the intersection of faith and the Holy Spirit, because the things of the Spirit of God are available to us as a household of faith through faith. And he says to her, what do you have in the house? Now she said, all I have is oil. The creditors are coming to take my sons into slavery to pay some debts. My husband has died. Now her husband worked as a servant for Elisha and Elijah in the company of prophets. And so he had a flask of oil. That flask of oil would have been the oil that he would have used to anoint somebody with oil. It wasn't a lamp. It was a flask. It was a jar. It was anointing oil. And we will pour out oil. We do it nicely. We just do a little dab. In fact, recently I did a hospital visit and I genuinely want to anoint this guy with oil. And we didn't have oil, but they did have sanitizer. So it was a very hygienic impartation. But I can report he's well and he's whole and he's going good. Praise God. God will use whatever. You say that's not exactly biblically accurate, but it is resourceful and God saw our heart. But when it comes to this flask of oil, he doesn't just do a dab. He pours the whole thing. So technically all she had left in the house was one more touch. All she had left was one more impartation of oil, one more touch of the Spirit of God. If all we have left is one touch from heaven, how many know we've got enough? If all we have left is one anointing can equal one breakthrough. That's all we need. You walk this property at Oxford Falls and it's beautiful and God's hands on it. But the most important thing in this build, in this church is not the facilities, it's not the car park, it's not the two rabbits I saw running across the field. It's not the lights, it's not the LEDs, it's not the comfy chairs, it's not the talented musicians, it's not the oratory. The most important thing in this church is still the oil. And I thank God that for 45 years, there's been oil flowing across the world from this house and it still continues to flow. Korabaha. Man, I feel it in my bones. Sorry, I just need to get happy for just a little bit this morning. I just had to get that out of my system. She walks up to him and she says, my sons are in a critical situation. I'm about to lose them. He says, what do you got? I've got some oil. And to her, that's all she had. Do you have anything else? All I have in the house is oil. But it turns out that that's not all she had. She thought she only had oil. But when I read that text, I also see that she had faith. Now, let me talk into faith for a minute because the Old Testament doesn't use the word faith. We see Abraham believed God, it was counted to him as righteousness. He's considered the father of faith, but he's called the father of many nations. So much of what we understand about faith in the Old Testament is through our New Testament lens. I believe the word faith in the original King James in the Bible twice in the Old Testament, and both times it's more kind of just faith in a natural sense, not faith in the way we presented it by Jesus and through the Gospels and through the epistles. Now when it comes to faith, faith happened all through the Old Testament, but we didn't really learn what faith was by definition. Jesus started to talk about faith. And so when someone would come to him with a need, he would say, daughter, your faith has made you well. Yeah. He'd be preaching, someone would get lowered down through the roof. And he'd say, the Bible said, when he saw their faith, or the Bible says he marveled at their faith. At one time he said, you have little faith. And he talked about faith so often. And the reason he talked about faith so often was he needed what was to be the church, what was to be believers and Christians who are going to find Christ. He understood that everything we have in the kingdom, grace, comes through faith. And so he needed to show people how faith worked because it was by faith that we would find Christ. Because the Bible tells us that we are saved by grace through faith. And so he wanted faith to get imparted in our lives. So Jesus taught faith. He showed us how faith works. And then we, of course, read Hebrews. And this series is the Hall of Faith. You read Hebrews 11. I mean, read, if you're at it, read Hebrews 12 as well. It's like the sequel. It's great too. It's a great sequel. But when it comes to faith, we know that Enoch had faith. We know that Barak had faith. We know that Jephthah had faith. We know that the mighty men of old had faith. But the Old Testament didn't necessarily call it faith. The New Testament told us it was faith. But we see faith all through the scripture. This woman didn't know the word faith, but she had faith. And sometimes that's a good thing because sometimes we try to have faith with our head rather than just walk in faith. And so she walked in faith, and as a result of her faith, oil begins to flow supernaturally. Now, I want to show you some things that she did to get the oil. These are faith things that this woman did. It seems like it's all the women in Scripture that had faith, man. This woman had faith. And so I'll give you the first thought that I have, how to get oil flowing through faith. The first thing, and I was going to call the point, she believed. She believed God. She believed. But it didn't quite articulate how I felt like the Lord wanted me to convey this to us today and to our church as well. And I want to just labor this a little bit, but I also want you to know that I'm going to illustrate it in a simple way, but please don't let the complexity or the truth of this be lost in what I'm trying to share with you today. This thought of believing God is something we all know, but in this case, she didn't just believe God. She believed God again. Second time belief. Because The Bible says she came to the prophet and her husband had died. That's a big hit. That's a hit to anybody's faith. And I just want you to know, I'm not up here lacking compassion or coming in as a guest speaker, going in spite of all that, have faith. And I'm the pastor of a church in Adelaide. Just like you come every week to your church, I go to my church every week. I preach the faith message, and I've also literally stood as we've had funerals and literally buried people in the ground who were believing God. And so in the aftermath of those moments, this is the thing that inspires me the most, is when I've seen people in our church take the hits and the disappointments and in some cases the grief, the loss. It could be a business venture, it could be a loss, it could be a sickness, and it seems like they didn't get the thing that they were believing for. It inspires me so much when you see them square their shoulders and get up and go, I'm believing again. And you might be here to, feel free to clap. There's, I just don't know if we are or we're not. 50% went with the clap. There was 50% that were like, no, I will not. You still have to earn it. The Bible tells us in Romans when we get saved, we confess with our mouths. And then what do? We believe with our heart. When Jesus rose from the dead, the book of Acts tells us that he appeared for 40 days to his disciples. And when he was appearing to his disciples, sometimes they didn't even recognize him. Other times he was having real moments. And what I find so inspiring in this whole area of belief, or maybe not even inspiring, that's probably the wrong word, compelling, is that the Bible says that the disciples didn't believe that he had risen from the dead. And so he gets them to dinner. So he'd appeared to Mary Magdalene, he'd appeared to different people. And the disciples didn't believe him. And as a result, he pulls them together at dinner. And the Bible says he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. So we see in Romans, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, faith. There's a confession, but there's a heart belief. And then we see here that there was a connection between maybe a broken heart or a disappointed heart and unbelief. And my encouragement to everyone here today is we must protect our believer and we must protect our heart. Because some of us, our hearts have taken a hit, and as a result, we've actually lost our ability to believe. And the devil has us where he wants us when we lose our capacity to believe. And I think there's a lot of people here so filled with potential, filled with the promise of the future, filled with the call of God, filled with anointing, filled with so many wonderful things, but there's a disconnect. And this is when I was sort of saying before, don't let the simplicity of this lose the edge of what I want to say, because I don't know how to say it with any greater panache. Some of our believers have taken a hit and we need to fix our believer. Do you remember there was a time somebody would tell you, I had a breakthrough from God, and you'd be like, that's amazing. And then you sort of hear the breakthrough stories. Yeah, that's good. But then you can get to a point you hear breakthrough stories and go, is that really what happened? I remember praying for someone one time, and he got, it was at C3 Auckland. This is years ago. This is 2008 maybe. And this young guy comes forward. I pray for him, and he was deaf in this ear. And he has scars running down the side of his face from where they had surgeries to fix his ear. And so we're praying, and the whole crowd were kind of in this moment. And he's saying, yeah, I'm healed. And I'm like, so I pulled the mic away. I said, bro, you don't have to say that just because everyone's watching. Just say what's really happening. And he got stroppy with me. He goes, no, I can hear. I was like, something's wrong with my believer right now. And from that day on, I only need to make sure that I'm not, I don't want to be praying for the sick and being like, and when they get healed, go, nah, stop lying. What are you doing? This is, Isn't it a shock when our prayers get answered? But sometimes they don't. And I don't know why, and I'm a faith guy. Like, you put me in my natural habitat, I'm going to wear a tie, I'm going to have a lapel mic, and I'm going to walk around here going, we need to confess, we need to believe God. I'm a faith guy. I love faith preachers. Get me some Kenneth Hagin, man. I believe in the authority of a believer. I believe that stuff. It's my bread and butter. I love it. Faith is everything, man. Faith puts no limitations on God, and God puts no limitations on faith. As big as you believe, God can do it. And so the devil, he wants to get at us, and we take a hit, and our faith becomes fragile. We don't believe God again. Some of you sit in C3 here, you've seen revivals that have shaken the world, and you go, man, that were good days, and I guess that was just a season. Who gave anyone permission to go, that was a season, when God hasn't even begun the work that He wants to do in this place? I don't want to look back on, my church is 102 years old. Actually, it's 103 in October. I've been going a long time. My church was started, I'm not kidding. Some of you older saints will appreciate this, some of you younger saints will not care one bit. Our church was started literally because two preachers came to Adelaide and held two series of revival meetings. The first was Smith Wigglesworth, and the other was Amy Semple McPherson. So in terms of the good old days, I don't have a chance. My founding pastor is Smith Wigglesworth. Yours is Phil Pringle. Both of us, why bother? Why do we even do this? God help us. You know, I wake up every day going, our best days are ahead. Yes. Oh, the promise, our future is as bright as the promises of God. You might have kids and you've got like three that are going great and one that's a loose unit. And you stop praying, I can't even believe him, he's crazy. He's the one that probably would be a preacher. Who gave you permission to quit believing God? Who's given us permission to just... Who told you to live with that sickness? Oh, I've got that chronic back thing. I've never done that before. It's a new thing. But I liked it, you know. And you're sitting here going, I'm in pain today, but that's okay. What happened to the good old days when you first got saved? Then if a dog sneezed, you'd lay hands on it. In the name of Jesus, heal. And then some. Do you know why childlike faith? When we new Christians have faith for everything, they'll read the concordance and get slain in the spirit. You know, they'll read the book of maps and pack their bags and move to Mount Hebron on a word. But we've been saved for so long, we've given ourselves permission to just get cynical. You know, I just feel like. This place, I preached here the first time you let me preach here. I'd been asking for years. I'd written letters, faxes. A facsimile transmission, I believe, is what did it. I remember preaching thinking it was okay. It was unremarkable. It wasn't bad. It wasn't good. I just remembered I preached. But I remember the minute I started calling people forward and moving in the Holy Ghost. I just felt like, this thing turns into a Ferrari when you do that. You know, okay, there's power in this place. There's wells of God in here that are critical for the future of church in our nation. I feel like God's saying even today, let's just tap into those wells and believe that God wants to do something by His Spirit. And there's faith. It's the DNA of this church. But you don't just go to church. You are the church. And I want to encourage you, grab a hold of that dimension of faith and believe again. Yeah. Maybe you like my marriage. It is what it is. Believe again. Yeah. Believe again. So we're going to pray for people as believers this morning. We don't need unbelieving believers. Dream again. Believe God again. Number two.
What? What happened? Are you teasing me? All right, number one, she believed again. I ran out of juice for number one. I mean, I've got a couple of things here, like when you shout, you're saying, I believe God. When you praise, you're saying, I believe God. When you lift your hand, you're saying, I believe God. When you shout amen, you're saying, I believe God. I was meant to yell that, but I forgot. When you shout hallelujah, you're saying, I believe God. When you're giving the offering, you're saying, I believe God. When you pray, you're saying, I believe God. When you confess the word, you're saying, I believe God. Some of us, we need to believe again. Resilience is pretty amazing. I've been pastoring for 103 years. Had some experiences. I've had times where I want to quit. You get back up. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. Is that a Seam of Gold song? Does anyone remember Seam of Gold? One of the great record labels. Number two, she partnered with the supernatural. Go and get as many vessels as you can. Get your sons to do it. Delegation, it's leadership principle. So the boys, they go and knock on, he says, every neighbor. So the whole street, knock on the door. Hi, Mr. Brown, can I borrow your polysaline plastic container? Hello, Mrs. Shuttlesworth, can I please have some Tupperware? Mr. Johnson, can I please have your gallon drum, your jerry can? Can I borrow your son's fish tank? Blinky's in there. Doesn't matter. He's going to die for the cause of the gospel. So they just come home with receptacles, oil receptacles, which I don't want to get too strange, but I want to be one of those. Lord, just make me a pot, make me a pan, make me a bowl. I don't really care as long as I can contain some oil. They just start bringing pots, you know. And you might imagine the neighbors going, they've been through a lot. They're in debt. It's not looking good. Just borrow it. We'll get it back at some point. Imagine what they're all thinking. But they didn't realize mum, like praying dads are powerful, but a praying mum, lethal. Praying grandma, you've got no hope. So there's people sitting at the back today just poking their head into church, but they don't realize there's also nanas back there praying for you. They've been watching you the whole time going, save that little naughty boy in Jesus' name. You think you're going home the same? No, you'll be leaving signed up for Bible college. But when we partner with the supernatural, let's have a look. How does the Holy Spirit come? The Bible says in Luke, Jesus says, pray to the Father, he'll give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. If I said to Jackson, Pastor Jackson, who I love your whole family, you're a great man of God. I loved watching you minister this morning. If I said to Pastor Jackson, can I please have $5? Wrong person. No, he's from a faith family. He's good. I could go for 10. If I said to Pastor Jackson, can I please have $10? I'm demonstrating two things. Number one, by asking him, I'm acknowledging he has that. And the second thing, when I ask him, for $10, I believe he's willing to bless me with that or give that to me. He mentioned it would be a loan, but I was believing for more. When you ask God for something, you're acknowledging he can. If I said to this room today, how many know God can bless you? Give me a wave, you know that. If I said, how many know God can heal you? How many know God can provide for you? How many know that God can sort out whatever's troubling you? We have no problem believing he can. But faith jumps into, but he will. Well, the man, he comes to God, is sick in his body, and he says, if you're willing, Master, you can heal me. He said, I am. He went with an if. God shifted it, made it an I am. And then I feel that in my bones. Here's the thing with the Holy Spirit. When we got baptized in the Holy Spirit, now some of you got the Holy Spirit one night, you just walked into church, you walked out, kita, baha, shanda, fire of God hit you. You're one of the lucky ones. Other people, you know what, I shouldn't have said it like that. That was your experience. And God's not limited to one method or one way. But I know people, they come forward for prayer to receive the Holy Spirit. So they do their part, they ask. We pray in faith. And then the Bible tells us that when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we speak in tongues. And so you'll speak in tongues. You do that. You're the one speaking. But he, the Bible says, gives you the utterance. Yeah. So you ask, he gives. Yeah. You receive. So you ask, he gives. You receive. You speak. But you speak with him giving you the ability. Yeah. Everything that I experience supernaturally is a partnership. Yeah. I do my part. He does his part. Lazarus, come forth. But you roll away the stone. If Peter wanted to walk on water, he had to partner. He had to get out of the boat. Naaman had to dip in the river 7 times. The blind man had to dip in the pool of Siloam. Oh, we've got to turn water into wine. Bring me some pots. Let's fill them up with water. There's a partnership. Some of us, we don't experience the supernatural because we come to church a bit like this going, well, whatever you want to do, feel free. But that's not hunger. That's not faith. Faith says, no. Boom, I'm going. So you go to Woolies. You want to get some of that sweet baby Ray's barbecue sauce, hickory and brown sugar flavor. It's a thing. It's a blessing. It's on the top shelf. It's not down the bottom with Master Foods smoky barbecue sauce, which isn't bad if you can't. To be honest with you, all forms of barbecue sauce are a blessing to me. I'm happy with whatever. Give me barbecue sauce and some ribs. I'm getting hungry, Pastor Alex. You know, you preach something like this and then you go and have lunch and it's like a piece of alfalfa on some quinoa. Take me to a roadhouse. Let me just have some deep fried sausage on a stick. Glory to God. I totally forgot what I was talking about. Hey? Yeah, you reach up. See, I would never have found that thought. You get it? You reach up, take it. You have your little basket, green basket at Woolies. You reach up. I think they're red at Coles. But Woolies is closer to my house. Coles is 7 minutes. Woolies is 3. You reach up. Put it in. That's what I do when I come to church. I want some anointing. I'm going to reach up. Today's my day. I need a breakthrough. Today's my day. Father, I thank you for it. I need a healing. Father, today I take that. I claim that as a child of God. I promise you, I've been through enough stuff in my life to quit. I've been through enough stuff to go, I can't do this anymore. But I know if I keep believing and I keep partnered with the Spirit, the oil keeps flowing. Maybe if, I don't know if it was a brother or a sister on the keyboard. I can't remember. Here we go. Brother. With a moustache like that, Lord, let it be a brother. In Jesus' name. Can I just say one more thing? Yeah. I'll give you one more thought, and then we'll have like, you got to come tonight, please. I can't do this all in one service. Yeah. By getting the pots of oil, the third thing, she partnered with the Holy Spirit, but the third thing she did was she increased her capacity to receive from heaven. Yeah. You know, we dig our own wells in God for which God can fill. Like at an altar call, and we'll open the altar in just a moment, but at an altar call, I want to be hungry. I want my heart to be receptive. You know that oil stopped flowing when there was no vessels. It wasn't like this endless supply that could just be all over the ground. The oil had to go into a vessel, but it had to go into, the Bible says, an empty vessel. The clutter of unbelief, the clutter of sin. I'm not saying we're perfect. I think God can pour into us and exchange sin for his oil and grace. But maybe we get so complicated. You can't put religion in those tubs. You got to say, God, I come to you empty, but I come to you hungry, and God will fill you.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.